We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, our Frisco campus takes over our podcast as Roger Salazar and Robert McBride talk about calling out the warrior within ourselves. Let's listen in.
Hey, everybody. I am so, so glad that you guys are joining us today live on Facebook and Instagram. We are honored to be with you, and I'm super, super excited. But this segment is going to be super awesome. Sleep last night just thinking about it. It's going to be super awesome. And I'm here with my friend, my partner in crime, and Mr. Robert McBride. He used to be a staff sergeant from the Rangers, one of the in the army. So, Mr. McBride, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm no longer an Army Ranger, but now I'm a CPA. So, they extended the deadline from April 15th to July 15th. So.
Nice.
Busy right now.
So hold that. So the Marine says once a Marine, always a Marine. So that doesn't apply to the Army.
You know what? We give each other titles, but at the end of the day, yes, I'm still an Army Ranger. Yes, I'm a CPA, but most importantly, I'm a warrior for God. So I'm His. I'm a beloved son. So that's the most important title that I have right now.
Awesome. That's so true, man. That's so true. And we're going. I want to get into that here in a second. I want to be able to dive into your former life. So tell me a little bit about, man, what caused you to say, I want to be a Ranger? Where did that come from, man? I mean, it's just it's super cool. But how did that come about in your personal life? How did that happen?
I mean, as a little kid, I think I was always just excited about being an Army kid. I mean, I remember buying my first set of Army fatigues when I was 10 years old. And, you know, Hollywood did their mix on you, you know, Rambo, Delta Force, Chuck Norris movies. So, I mean, as a kid, I played war. I mean, that's what I did. In the summertime, if I stuck around the house too long, I was going to have to do chores. So I went out and played war with the neighborhood kids. And when I got through the school system and by the hair of my chinny chin chin, which I didn't do too well in high school, but I had one choice, and that was join the military. I actually had multiple choices, but mine was go in and join the military. And I took the test, and I scored high enough to qualify to try out for the Rangers. And I told them I wanted to jump out of airplanes and kill bad guys. I didn't know. I'd never shot guns before I joined the military. Live guns. They were all Nerf guns or water guns, but and that's how it all started.
Man, so you decide, okay, I want to go for it, and I'm ready to you know, be a soldier. And so what was the process as you find yourself into something that it was a dream and now it's a reality? Now it's something that you like, okay, now I am a Ranger. What was that like, you know, to go from a dream to now it was a reality?
I mean, it was a lot of humility, I would say, was probably the toughest thing is, you know, I joined up when I was 17 years old, and I think I weighed 140 pounds, and I had a target on my back. Everybody told me that there's no way I'd make it through the training, that I was going to quit, and I just didn't quit. And once I received, you know, the blue cord, which is the infantry cord in the Army, there at Fort Benning, they sent me to airborne school. And then I got my jump wings, and I was like, okay, I arrived. All right. And then they sent me off to selections for Rangers, and I got selected. And then I was like, I got my beret, and I was like, I arrived. And then they sent me to the first Ranger unit, and I was the lowest man on the totem pole again, and I hadn't arrived. And so a lot of pressures, a lot of steps, and a lot of it was I had to prove to these men that I was worthy of being on the battlefield with them. the Rangers are 18 hours and wheels up. So within an 18 hour period, I could be called and sent anywhere in the world. And within whatever the travel time is, we could be on the battlefield conducting a mission within 24 to 48 hours. And I had to earn the trust of the men around me that I could cover their six, that I could do what my job is supposed to do.
So that is super cool. And let me kind of dive a little bit into this, because you were telling me that the other day you were telling me a story that I was fascinated about. So you go into a specific mission, you walk in, and there's six guys that are assigned, or however many. And tell me a little bit about each person's job in that moment. You're walking in into a house and you have a target. Tell me a little bit about that. That was super cool, by the way.
Well, I think the individualness gets cut out, and you have to look at the mission in the whole. So individually, your mind wants to cover the obvious target in a room. And if you're the first man in, the obvious target's going to be the center of that room. But as a team, you have to know your position and your job as that team member is just on your segment. So it's not natural for you to walk into a room and instantly look down your sector. And based on where you're pinned or lined up at, you have to determine, am I going to clear from the right corner of the room all the way up? And then you just have to walk in and know that the guy in the rear is going to cover the obvious sector. It's called the theta funnel, where your just tendencies are to look center mass of the room. But so it's fluid. It's stay in your lane, bro. Stay in your lane.
So that is fascinating, because, you know, so many times we feel that we men should do everything and try to cover every single angle, you know, and we want to be the ones hovering over everything. And it's so fascinating to me. It's like, we are called to focus on what God is calling us to focus, and surround yourself, you know, surround yourself with a strong man that will cover the other area, and trust that they are being the warriors that they're called to be able to cover my blind spot, if you will.
That's correct. I mean, you have to stay focused on your mission. You have to know that we're not Hollywood messed it up when they put a man by the name of Rambo on TV, and it was a lone man that was out there fighting everybody, and lone men get killed, lone survivors get killed, and you have to rely on the brotherhood of the team and know that it's a trust, and you're trusting your life with these men.
Man, that is awesome. So let me ask you a direct personal question. So did you ever feel fear as you're going in through this training or missions or something that was assigned to you, an assignment? Did you ever feel fear? Did you ever feel inside of you that you were afraid? And tell me a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think the best way I can explain that is I was in an airplane once, and we had to load our parachutes on our back for a jump, and it was just a training jump. But in the process, the jump masters have to go through and check your parachute and make sure you're geared up right. And the sergeant major was the jump master that day, and he says, "Ranger, how you feeling?" I said, "Man, I'm scared. And he says, "Ranger, if you ever don't feel fear before you jump, then you need to not jump. Fear is a good thing. If those that don't have fear, lackadaisia kicks in, and that's whenever mistakes are made and people die." Yes, I did feel fear, but you have to just look past the fear and know that fear is just a feeling.
Man, that is actually super cool, because what I feel sometimes is, that we think that because fear that creeps in inside of us, and then we think, man, I may not be doing the right thing because there's something inside of me that should not be there. I should not be fearful. That no matter whether you are an Army Ranger, you're going to have some sort of sense of fear and you know, which, you know, I think at the end of the day, that is in all of us, right?
Yeah, and I think that fear is a sign that you need to lean into your prayer life. When that fear kicks in, that's you're praying. I mean, every man that I know, there's no atheist in a foxhole, right? I mean, every man that I know that has that fear, they're praying. They're asking God, hey, fill in this gap, this void. So, yeah. I think fear is almost placed in there so we can lean into our Father. And he is the Prince of Peace, so he'll bring peace during that time. But I think it's almost like God saying, I got you. It's his way of saying, I'm here with you.
Yeah. And you're right. And, you know, that as you were talking, I was reminded of, and I'm sure you heard the story, but man, talking about really testing your fear. There is this guy who is really afraid, so afraid that he's hiding on a little place, trying to, you know, do some work because he doesn't want to be found. And all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, mighty hero. You know, he tells Gideon, man, you're a mighty hero. But the thing of it is, though, Robert, is that he didn't feel like a hero. And he felt like he was so small. He has so many issues, so many failures. He felt he was just afraid. But then all of a sudden, there was a call out to say, you're a mighty hero. You need to go. So on that note, we come back to that. But on that note, you told me a story about you were doing a training on Panama. I believe you were doing a training in Panama, and I think your sergeant was there, and I think you were doing a mock-up, and then he touched you and said, you know, sort of like you're in charge. So tell me a little bit about that. How did that happen, you know, on that moment that somebody calls you out and said, you're in charge now? In that moment of you're in a helicopter, you have six guys, and all of a sudden that you are in charge now.
I think that was kind of like that was my main point. That was my, you've been with us for, and I'd only been with the Rangers for about 4 months by that time. And mind you, for 4 months, their job was to try to make me quit. And they did everything they could to make me quit. And so here we are in this helicopter going in to do a training mission. We had briefed it. We had planned it. We had mocked it up. We had done blank fires. We were ready to do the mission, and we knew everybody's job. And as we're flying in the helicopter, and it was about 4:30 in the morning, and it was blackout. We're moving in, and you could barely even see because the pilots were flying with night vision goggles, and you could barely see your own guys, but you knew it needed to happen. And all of a sudden I get an elbow and I get handed the radio of my squad leader. And I was Private McBride at the time. And he says, I'm dead. You're in charge. And, I got out of the helicopter and I ran the mission. And I think after the end of that mission is where I felt like I had earned the trust of the guys that I was with. And that was where my career in the Rangers changed, as it went from me having to prove that I was worthy to the point where they called me, they knew I could do it, that I could fill in the gap.
Man, that alone is just a super cool story, I have to tell you, because it really truly reminds me of this guy. You know, the Israelites have been in captivity by these Midianites, and they're being like bullied to the point that they're just hiding and scared to death and so afraid. And all of a sudden, there's this angel shows up and says, Private, you're in charge. Now, you are the one that's going to set all these people free. I mean, think about the moment of that fear. And when when talking about your story, I'm just feeling right now that that's what's happening right now. I feel like this bombarded with so much stuff, so much, you know, opposition from the enemy. The devil at hell is coming against every man. And I feel like there's this hand that just elbows us and says, Private, you're in charge. So and the question is, what are we doing? You know, because there has to be so many guys are fearful. Robert, I feel that so many guys feel that they're not equipped. So on that note, do you feel in that moment when you feel that elbow hitting you, when you feel that elbow hitting you, when you felt that voice saying, Private, you're in charge, do you feel equipped at that moment to take on that responsibility of six guys? Do you feel 100% ready to go?
I don't think I had a choice to rely on feelings. He didn't give me a choice. He says I'm in charge. and so, no, I mean, I didn't think I was just a human being that was trying to prove to these other men that I was worthy to fight with them. All I knew is I didn't have a choice and I had to go. I mean, there was an option. So no, from a size of me and the way they broke me down, I felt about this tall, but at that moment I didn't have a choice. I just did. And action, you know, I there's a lot of talk. Everybody talks. I mean, we can watch the news, we can listen and talk, but it's I always say your actions are so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. Mm-hmm. And there's so many men that just talk about their favorite sports guy, their favorite, golf, their hole in one on a par three. And I'm just like, okay, well, what about now? What about the men that are POWs, prisoners of war? Because Ephesians 6:10 says this is not a war against flesh and blood. This is a war against the principalities and authorities that rule this planet. And we've got men and boys that are held hostage, that are in concentration camps in a spiritual perspective. And we just need to be sent in and grab these guys. These are snatch and grabs missions. We got to go grab these men and say, here, you're tied to sin. Let's release these. Let's walk this through. Let's heal men and free men, free other men. And so that's where I see is we talk about all the problems in America right now, but the action has to happen. And I think people are afraid to take action. And I'm just like, a boat sitting at port is no good unless it's out at sea moving cargo. And so we have to just get out at sea and let God do the rest.
I agree. And as you were talking, I was just, you think of this moment, right? So you're in charge, you're taking, and the response that Gideon gives is super, it just blows my mind because that's the response that every man is giving right now. It says, but Lord, how can I rescue? But Lord. So the question is right now that I feel that a lot of men are hearing God speaking to them. They're hearing the call out to this warrior to go do something for the kingdom. But the what's happening is many of us are saying enough. But Lord, I have this addiction. But Lord, my marriage is in shambles. But Lord, I don't even know very well the Bible. How am I? So there's these but Lord moments that I feel that a lot of us are experiencing, a lot of the guys. And like you said, there is these wounded warriors that were slapped and beat the days out of by the enemy with their just completely wounded and hurt. And yet the Lord is saying, Private Johnny, Private Thomas, Private Austin, Private Robert, you're in charge. And here's what it blows my mind, though, Robert, that he picks 30,000 guys to go. So he picks 30,000 guys, and God says, it's too many. Because, see, if you overcome, you're going to think it's you. And I can't have that. I can't have you think it's you the one. So ask who is fearful. And 20,000 men said, I'm afraid. 20,000 men said, I'm afraid. And God says, it's still too many. So then he goes, okay, we're going to go to this lake. Now he ends up with 300 men, Robert, 300 men. But because what God wanted to do was, you are a mighty hero. I don't want you to rely on anything else but me and me alone. So I'm going to ask you right now, Robert, do you have 300 men truly that you can call on right now, or you have a lot less than that?
I wish I could say the number was 30. I wish I could say the number was 20. But no, I mean, I'm trying to find those men because we live in such a comfortable world where we have on-demand internet, on-demand food, on-demand, that we don't realize that there is a war going on. And I just, it's hard because I have these spiritual eyes when I became a Christian, and God's opened these eyes and these ears, and I see the carnage on the battlefield. And I'm trying to say there's people dying, not a physical death, but an eternal death. And I just don't think men realize that. And so if they realize what I saw, I think we would have 30,000. I think we would have 300 tomorrow. I mean, if men can realize that, hey, and don't isolate yourself and join up with three guys, with six guys, show up to a Promise Principle Bible study, learn to read the scripture. It's the sword. I mean, when I was carrying a weapon in the army, that was my weapon. And I didn't just pick it up and shoot it for the first time when I went on the battlefield. I cleaned that weapon. I oiled that weapon. I shot that weapon over and over and over and over again. I knew how to take it apart with a blindfold. I knew that weapon so well that when it came to, and I knew what type of rounds to shoot for certain missions. And it was just like, man, how many of us men are pulling the weapon, which is the word of God, daily, getting that daily training, and repetition is the mother of all skill. I don't know men that are doing that. Very few. I could say under 15 men right now that are really, truly getting up daily and reading their daily bread, getting their food. They're getting their food once a week, and their souls are malnourished, and they're not ready to fight.
And you're right, Robert. I think here's the call that I feel that you and I are making right now, right? I feel that we're trying to tell every man that is hearing this is that you are a warrior, period. Yes. End of story. You were created, came a soldier, Robert, you were not a perfect soldier, right? You had issues, you have to learn stuff, you have to continue to develop, and you have to continue to, how many times were you training a day when you on the training? Was it just once a week and then chillax the next six?
I spent more time in the Army. I spent 12 years in the military. I spent more time training than I did anything.
That's right.
I trained constantly. And I was, you know, it didn't matter. When I was a private, I was doing push-ups in the chow hall line. Not because I wanted to, but because my leaders were harassing me and saying, if you don't have a Ranger tab, get down and do push-ups.
Right.
It was we ran PT every morning. We quoted the Ranger Creed every morning after PT. Every time we went to chow, it was constant training. Training.
Guys, how can we see somebody that went into the natural and became such a force in the as a Ranger and are hearing the training that he has gone through, the training that he has developed, the constant, how can we see as somebody in the natural going through that and we don't think that in the spiritual we have to do the same thing? Guys, calling you right now to step out. Not to hide behind, not to continue to fill yourself, you know, ourselves with all this negative, but be the warrior that God wants you to be. And I want to kind of close up with a tattoo that my friend Robert has now in his arm. It is developing. It's about the whole entire armor of God, right? So we have to put our armor every day, Robert. Every day. There's not like, you know, you go out today and tomorrow you forget. Every day is a day that you have to choose to put the armor, correct?
That's correct. And you got to know that if you're going to go do a 25-mile road march today and you're breaking in a pair of boots on that road march, that's not a smart idea. You got to know those boots. You got to break those boots in. You got to know what's on your belt of truth to know, is your canteen's full? Is your ammunition full? Is your grenades there? Is your compass there? You got to put on that armor to protect your heart so you can be in right standing. You got to put on the helmet to protect your brain so you're saved. Because Satan wants to tell you that you're not saved, that you're a sinner, that you've made this mistake, you lied to this person, you did this. And you got to put your force, the shield of faith. The shield of faith to me is Roger, you're part of my shield of faith. Hang Man. Around faithful men. Have iron sharpening iron. I've got a shield of faith of men that cover my back. And then
Then
pull out your weapon and read the word. Read the word daily.
That's right. Listen, guys, I want to tell you, this is my sword here, by the way. But here's the thing. If you are not surrounding yourself with men that can encourage you, that can help you, that can make you accountable, call somebody. You can go into the chat today and say, I need help. Yes, there's freedom when you say, I need help. I need to surround myself. Because the truth of the matter is, we're in a war. And you are right now in this moment to be the warrior that God has called you. And just like my brother, Robert Arrow, said today, his name is not Robert, it's Arrow, because God gave him. He is an arrow in the kingdom. And he surrounded himself with strong men so they can pour into him. He's plugged in. So guys, get your sword today. And I'm not going to let the enemy take my finances. I'm not going to let the enemy take my marriage. I'm not going to let the enemy take my sanity. Today, I choose to be a warrior, and I'm going to join somebody. I'm going to ask somebody to come and be my partner. So, Robert, thank you so much, man. This was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to talk to you. There's so much experience in the battlefield that I believe is so clear on the spiritual as well.
I agree. And Roger, I love you, man. You're one of my brothers. You're a band of my brotherhood, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you too, man.
Every day for you.
You too, man. And I tell you guys, I have an anointed man. You have not met with him. You have to. He can pour into you. We have so many men that are ready to pour into you and lock hands with you. So I'm going to thank you for every man that is hearing right now. I ask you, Lord, that you awaken the spirit warrior that you have placed in every man, Lord, that they will see what you see in them, identified, have already identified in them before the foundation of the world. We no more live behind closed doors in fear and in tremble. We have you, and we are going to find the power of your name and your might. It is because of your faith. It's because of your salvation. It's because of your righteousness. It's because of your gospel. It's because of your truth. And it's because your word that we are alive today. So bless every man in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. And if you want to stay connected with everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.